Goedemorgen en heel hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power op deze zondagmorgen in kerstsfeer. En aan al die mensen die kijken, jong en oud, misschien nog in bed, aan de ontbijttafel, weg naar de kerk, ik weet het allemaal niet. We vinden het geweldig dat u en dat jij kijkt. En we hebben een mooi programma vandaag. Een hele beroemde zangeres uit Nederland, daar kom ik zo meteen op terug. In de Crystal Cathedral praat de jonge dominee Schuller over een mooi thema. Komt, laten wij hem bidden. En dat naar aanleiding van dat prachtige kerstlied komt alle tezamen jubelend van vreugde. En misschien zing je dat straks ook met de kerst. En daarover praat ik met, ik zei het al, een beroemde zangeres, Pearl Josephson. Zij zong onder andere in het Euro Songfestival, was winnaar bij The Voice of Holland, speelde in musicals en hier vertelt ze wat haar werkelijk en ten diepste bezighoudt. En ze doet straks ook mee aan onze Christmas Experience. En natuurlijk veel muziek. Het koor van de Crystal Cathedral zingt het prachtige Unto Us a Child is Born. Jason Cattrall in de Crystal Cathedral. En Bonnie St. John wordt geïnterviewd. Een vrouw die een ongelooflijke Olympische prestatie leverde met een handicap. Kortom, dit is Hour of Power. Iedereen van harte welkom.
Merry Christmas from the Hour of Power.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. And I hope your Christmas season, as it's coming along, is coming along okay. I hope you're staying warm as the weather starts to cool off. And would you turn around and shake the hands of those who are seated next to you and say, God loves you, and so do I. Lord, we come into your presence so thankful that you've called us here. We thank you, God, that you are the source of all hope, joy, and love. We pray that you'd make us into the image of your Son, Jesus. We thank you, God, that you've called us, you've taken us, you've blessed us. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Listen as we remember the story of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of a greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. May God add his blessing to the reading of this word.
Thank you. my pleasure to introduce to you today a tremendous, tremendous guest. Her name is Bonnie St. John. I met her twice before on national ski slopes, where she won an Olympic medal. She became the first African-American woman to win an Olympic medal in skiing. And she graduated from Harvard with honors and Oxford. She is a Rhodes Scholar. She won numerous awards as an IBM sales rep. She served as director of the National Economic Council for the White House. Impressed I am. Yes, she's here today to share with us her new book, Live Your Joy. Please welcome with me Bonnie St. John. You don't limp at all.
You don't either.
Is your amputation is your amputation below the knee or through the knee?
Above the knee.
Above the knee.
Just like your daughter.
Yes. Well, I met you twice at the Olympics.
Right.
So fantastic.
I'm so excited to be here today.
Are you?
Though. Oh, my gosh, yes. To be here inside the Crystal Cathedral.
Tell us, one leg, what happened?
Well, the growth was stunted in my leg when I was born. They looked normal. My mom thought it was going to be normal. And so you get a baby and you think, here's my baby. But the doctor tells you we have to cut off the leg. Because as I grew, the leg wasn't going to grow. If they hadn't amputated, my foot would be sticking out where my knee was. So I spent a lot of time in my childhood going in and out of hospitals. I was as a 5-year-old, as a 10-year-old, and in high school.
As your body was growing, you had...
Well, no, it was different complications. They had to go back and shorten the leg again because it grew more than they thought it would. But I ended up going through a lot of pain and a lot of surgeries.
My daughter, Carol, had a leg amputated. You and Carol, I think, skied together.
In fact, we did. We raced.
Carol said to me, Bonnie St. John, is my biggest challenge. We won't say who won. We'll pass that. But what is your book about?
Live Your Joy is... It wasn't easy for me to live my joy. Not only did I spend a lot of time in pain because of the leg, that's easy to see... But inside, I was abused, sexually abused by my stepfather for years and years, and that causes scars you can't see. And we know so many people have those scars you can't see. And so people think, oh, she looks so joyful, and she's won medals, and she's achieved all these things. But really finding joy was a struggle for me. So in the book, I talk about struggling to learn to live my joy. And so many people are struggling to live joy, especially with this economy now. People are really having a hard time. And so it's important to know, how do we get back to joy?
How do you start?
For me, of course, God is so important because God is always trying to give us that joy. And what I learned is that we learn to block that joy in so many ways, so many behaviors and attitudes and beliefs we have, we block God's joy. And so I talk about how to become more positive, how to be a more helpable person, how to receive help not only from God, but God keeps sending us all these people to help us, and we block it out.
Why?
I think we're scared. Sometimes we try to control. I know I try to control things myself, but learning to be humble and how to open my heart, I had to heal my heart. I had to pray for years and just let God teach me love.
So being without a leg isn't something you learned as much as something you were born with.
True. I didn't get a leg. We don't always get everything. No. And sometimes we worry so much about our circumstances. We think, I'll be happy when I get my job back, or I'll be happy when I get a man back. But it's really about letting God give us joy now. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice in it. He didn't say, wait for a better day.
That's very good.
He said, today. Yes. And so when we let God give us joy today, and we start from there, then the circumstances can change.
Right.
The circumstances don't bring us joy. We have the joy and that changes everything. So people can remember that right now.
Very
That's
insightful.
The most important thing. I have a special gift that I want to give people too, is I'd love everybody to buy the book, but even if you don't have any money right now, you can download this free devotional that gives you Bible verses and discussion things you can do. You can pray with a friend who's struggling to find their joy. So if you go to my website, just BonnieStJohn.com, and you click on the picture of the book, you can download the free devotional and go out and start being proactive to get your joy now and get closer to God and get the joy that God has waiting for all of us right now, regardless of your circumstances.
You know, your face just shows it. You glow, and you've been through it, a lot of stuff. Abuse, we won't go through.
You know, that's God's real gift for me, is even though I've had so much pain in my life, is to be able to say to you, no matter how much pain you're in, I've been there, and you can still find joy, and God can give you that joy right now if you let Him. That's such a gift God has given me, to be able to tell people with authority, God has joy for you right now.
Three medals, show us.
So we have two bronze and a silver. And I was bronze in slalom, bronze in giant slalom, and the silver was the second fastest woman in the world on one leg, and the first African-American to win an Olympic medal in skiing.
Wow.
Praise God.
That's great. The book, Bonnie St. John, Live Your Joy. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's good to have you back.
Al meer dan 30 jaar brengt Hour of Power de positieve boodschap op tv van het evangelie van Jezus. Ook voor de nieuwe generatie.
There is no such thing as an ordinary person. You wake up every day with confidence and a power that is unshakable by any human being. The value of the individual to God is paramount.
Hour of Power, omdat we geloven in liefde. Hour of Power, omdat jij het waard bent en anderen ook. Help daarom mee deze boodschap van liefde te verspreiden. Steun de missie van Hour of Power al vanaf €5 per maand. Word nu donateur en ontvang het eerste boek van Robbie Soeler als welkomstgeschenk. www.hourofpower.nl of bel 035 538 0588.
You walk with splendor.
Omdat jij het waard bent en anderen ook.
Fantastische zangers en zangeressen in de Crystal Cathedral, maar we hebben niet minder grote talenten in Nederland. En ik ben blij dat we vanmorgen een beroemd zangtalent hebben, ook een musicalster. En heel veel mensen, kijkers van Out of Power, zullen haar herkennen. Ze speelde onder andere in de musical Hairspray Rent. Ze won bijna het Nationaal Songfestival, ze werd tweede. En we kennen haar van The Voice of Holland, waar ze de sterren van de hemel zong. Goedemorgen, en ik ben ongelooflijk blij dat je hier te gast bent, Pearl Josephson.
Goedemorgen.
Goedemorgen.
Dankjewel.
Ja, wat is jouw favoriete tijd? Want we zitten hier helemaal in kerstsfeer.
Ik hou gewoon heel erg van de sfeer rondom kerst. Het is een beetje eigenlijk heel oppervlakkig, want waar kerst eigenlijk om draait is heel wat anders dan de warmte en de muziek en de liedjes en het gezellig eten. Maar ik hou daar gewoon van.
Ja. Lekker Surinaamse familie. Ja. Die kunnen dat ook zo heerlijk vieren, hè?
Klopt. Heerlijk bij elkaar komen. En we houden ook gewoon zingen met elkaar. En het is eigenlijk altijd wel gezellig.
Over zingen gesproken. Je hebt een hele mooie stem. En je gaat straks, en daar gaan we het over hebben, bij de Christmas Experience van Hart voor Kinderen. De sterren van de hemel zingen, denk ik. Over de ster van Bethlehem. Wat is jouw favoriete kerstlied?
Ja, dat vind ik echt een moeilijke vraag, hoor. Want
er zijn er veel.
Er zijn er zoveel. En omdat ik al zei, ik hou van de kerstliedjes. Ik denk, het eerste wat in me opkomt is O Holy Night.
Dan gaan we nu naar luisteren.
Nou, ik wil best een stukje zingen,
ja,
hoor.
Tuurlijk.
Een klein stukje.
Ja.
O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth.
Prachtig. Nou, het is een concert voor één persoon op de bank, dus ik applaudisseer in mijn eentje, maar fantastisch. Bij Out of Power hebben we in ieder geval nu de eerste prijs gewonnen.
Dat is heel fijn. Het is toch leuk om een keer eerste te zijn.
Precies, ja.
Ja, toch?
Jij zingt straks ook weer vol overtuiging in jouw kerk in Den Bosch.
Ja, klopt.
Ja.
Ja.
In de Pinkstergemeente?
Ja, ik zit daar inderdaad al jaren in de kerk. En ik ben ook actief in het muziekgebeuren. Dat vind ik echt heel leuk om te doen. Ik coach daar wat mensen en zelf zing ik ook gewoon mee.
Ik zo leuk vind dat je ook naar de Gereformeerd Vrijgemaakte Kerk gaat.
Klopt, ik ga af en toe mee met mijn vriend, want die is daar lid. En dus zo ben ik eigenlijk daar binnengekomen. En dan kom ik daar één keer per maand of zo. Ik vind het ook superleuk.
Ja.
Het is een andere stroming, maar ik voel me er thuis. Ja.
En dan kijk je ook nog naar Hour of Power. Wat vind je daar leuk aan?
Ik vind het ook leuk om Hour of Power te kijken. Ik vind de gesprekjes, de één-op-één gesprekjes, vind ik heel interessant.
Ik ook.
Ja, snap ik. Hey, en dan inderdaad die kerk in Amerika, die komt ook heel warm over. En ik vind de preken altijd al heel interessant.
Je zei net, en dat vond ik erg leuk, kerst is mijn favoriete tijd van het jaar. En toen zei je, het is meer dan sfeer, daar ben ik toen niet op ingegaan. Dus nu de vraag, wat betekent kerst, als ik het zo mag zeggen, ten diepste voor je?
Ja, ja, ten diepste. Ik geloof in God en ik geloof in Jezus. Dus met kerst, dan denk je wel echt daaraan dat echt Jezus op aarde kwam, mens is geworden voor ons. Dat is eigenlijk ook weer een hele diepe betekenis.
Geloof je dat echt, dat het zo gebeurd is?
Ik geloof dat echt, ja. Ik ben daar wel overtuigd van, ja.
Ja. Ik vind het heel mooi dat je zegt, ik geloof in het kerstkind, in Jezus. Nou ja, de mensen over de hele wereld doen dat. Maar wat doet hij in jouw leven?
Als ik mijn relatie met Jezus zou moeten omschrijven, is het een vriendschaprelatie. Ik praat met hem en ik deel dingen met met Jezus. Ik lees over de dingen die hij heeft gedaan in de Bijbel. En daar word ik door geïnspireerd. Om ook zo te leven. Dat vind ik heel mooi. En zo zie ik Jezus. Dat betekent hij voor mij. Concreet in mijn leven.
De belangrijkste opdracht van Jezus was aan ons. Heb je naaste lief als jezelf.
Ja.
Toch?
Ja.
Ja. Lukt dat?
Mooie. Ja, ik doe mijn best. Ik ben ook niet perfect. Maar dat is wel echt iets waar ik naar streef. Wel om gewoon mijn naaste lief te hebben. Zo, ja, als mezelf. Ja, dat vind ik een heel belangrijk streven.
Je gaat straks meedoen aan het grote gala Christmas Experience in Vredenburg in Utrecht. Een benefietconcert voor Hart voor Kinderen. Zie je er naar uit?
Ik zie er echt naar uit. Ik vind het superleuk om mee te mogen werken aan zo'n project. Een project wat ook staat voor iets waar ik ook voor sta. Dus dat vind ik heel gaaf.
En want waar sta jij voor?
Nou, ik ben dan ook sinds kort actief met ontwikkelingshulpprojecten. Want ik ben ambassadeur voor Stichting Met der Daad vanuit de EO. En daar ben ik ook onlangs voor op reis geweest. En ook naar Afrika toevallig. En ook heb ik met kinderen kinderprojecten mogen zien. En dus daar heb ik echt affiniteit mee en een passie voor. Dus ik vind het gaaf dat ik dat daaraan kan meewerken, ook voor dit project.
Over 2 weken sta je in Vredenburg, onder andere met Jim Earl Perry en Sharon Kipps. En nog een stel fantastische namen. Het is een heel black gospelconcert of kerstconcert.
Gaaf.
Wat ga jij zingen?
Gewoon wat ook bekende kersttitels in een leuk pearljasje.
Ja.
Dingen die mij passen in mijn versie, zeg maar.
Wat is jouw oproep in verband met dat concert aan onze kijkers? Kijk maar voor de camera.
Echt waar? Moet ik even een spotje en reclame?
Ja, daar ben je goed in, toch?
Is dat zo? Nou, wil je graag deze kerst een heel mooie concert eigenlijk bijwonen? Dan raad ik je aan om naar de Christmas Experience te komen.
Goed.
Ik was wel eng hoor, om te doen zo'n sportje.
Ja? Nou, jij bent zangpedagoge en coach. Misschien kun jij mij leren om te zingen, dan coach ik jou om spotjes te doen.
Dat is een goed plan. Nou, dat wordt een hele goede deal.
Oké, doen we zo hè?
Oh ja, okay. Ja, zo. Ja.
Hey, je bent zo'n leuke, spontane meid. Wat is je droom voor de toekomst?
Er zijn al zoveel dromen uitgekomen, maar ja, ik blijf wel dromen. En ik zou heel graag willen mijn eigen muziek willen delen met de wereld eigenlijk. Dus een album, daar ben ik mee bezig, dat komt eraan. En dat is echt een droom van mij. Ik denk bijna wel van elke zangeres. Dat weet je wel, dat je je eigen album hebt. En een andere droom van mij is ook in mijn zangcoaching, waar ik het net over heb gehad, om daarin ook uit te breiden. Ik zou echt een muziekschool willen opstarten, echt gewoon vast, waar gewoon mensen kunnen komen en zich ontwikkelen in de muziek, want ik vind dat heel belangrijk.
Ja.
Dat zijn de 2 dingen waar ik nu even concreet een beetje op focus eigenlijk.
Ja, zakenvrouwtje.
Weet je wel, hè?
Ja, nou, dat is goed. Je hebt ook een hele muzikale broer. Je komt uit een fantastische familie. En als ik jou zo zie, dan denk ik, nou, die vlindert door het leven heen. Maar heb je ook verdriet gekend in je leven?
Ik heb, zeg maar, ik kom uit een gezin met alleen mijn moeder en geen vaderfiguur. Maar het is niet zo dat ik, zeg maar, ervaar dat enorm lastig is geweest. Want mijn moeder gaf zoveel liefde en de kerk waar we in zaten was zo warm. En dus zo heb ik, zeg maar, wat voor de buitenwereld misschien lijkt als, oh, wat enorm erg. En ik heb dat toch ervaren als gewoon positief zijnde en gewoon warmte en liefde. Zo ben ik eigenlijk opgevoed en er is niet echt iets gebeurd waar ik echt mee in een dal ben gekomen. Maar er zijn genoeg dagen dat ik denk, vandaag blijf ik lekker binnen in mijn bed liggen en ben onzeker of zo. Dat heb ik ook.
Ja.
Echt. Ja, ja. Zeker. Ik heb soms dagen denk ik, mijn stem zit niet lekker, ik stop met zingen en het hoeft allemaal niet meer.
Alsjeblieft hoor. In ieder geval tot de Christmas Experience. Kijk, dit is de poster.
Leuk.
En waar sta jij?
Ja, in het midden.
Ja.
Wat gaaf. Ik heb het nog niet gezien zo.
Leuk, hè?
Ja, leuk. Ja.
En dit is ons magazine.
Super. De Hoop
Magazine. Kunnen alle kijkers gratis aanvragen bij ons. Ontzettend leuk dat je daar gaat zingen. En wij verheugen ons erop. En er is heel veel belangstelling. En ik ga jou vragen, wat is je favoriete Bijbeltekst? En in ruil daarvoor krijg je een mooi boek.
Het eerste wat me nu te binnen schiet is, ik heb jullie geluk voor ogen. niet jullie ongeluk. Ik zal je een hoopvolle toekomst geven.
Uit Jeremia. 29, ja. Vers
11 en 12, ja.
Kijk, nou, je bent goed op de hoogte en daarvoor ben je het waard dat je dit boek krijgt.
Oh, wat goed.
Het heet Omdat jij het waard bent. Er zitten heel mooie bijbelteksten in en hele mooie gedachten. En ik geef graag aan je mee. Kijk even.
Super.
Mooi, hè?
Ja, parels.
Kijk, dit is een leuke knul. Ja.
Leuk, mijn vriend is leuker, maar... Hey, hartstikke leuk. Sorry.
Nou, dan heb ik wat... Dan mag je zeggen natuurlijk. Ja, ik zou het heel verkeerd vinden als je zegt... mijn vriend is niet zo leuk als dominee Schoeder. Dus dan... ik heb nog nooit zoveel gelachen bij haar, Orofkauw.
Nee?
Ja, echt leuk. Oh, en ik heb dan... Deze is voor je vriend.
Oh, nou super.
En die is voor jou.
Oh, dat vind ik fijn.
Kijk, in dat magazine wat ik net noemde... staan ook allemaal geschenken die je elkaar kunt geven met de kerst van Orofkauw. Okay. Dit is wel leuk, laat je even zien. En dat is... hier staat een bijbeltekst op. De berg van de zaligsprekingen. Peace, be still. Dus vrede zijn met je.
Ja.
En dan deze even... Je bent niet nieuwsgierig. Je niet weet wat erin zit.
Jawel.
Nou, wat dan?
Wauw.
Pas op je lijn, hè?
Okay. Oei, chocolaatjes. Ja.
En nee, dit is ook wel heel mooi. Dat de header, de goede header, jou in je leven zal leiden.
Oh, dat is ook een hele mooie tekst,
nou, ja. Ik hoop dat je er veel uit zult drinken.
Ja, dat komt goed.
Hey, heel veel succes en zegen met de Christmas Experience. En jouw optreden daar. Ik vond het ongelooflijk leuk om je te ontmoeten. En wij gaan weer terug naar de Christelijke Cathedral.
Oké.
Dankjewel.
Dankjewel.
Kom op vrijdag 21 december naar de Christmas Experience. Een geweldig benefietconcert in Utrecht. Artiesten van internationale allure bundelen hun krachten... om verlaten en kwetsbare kinderen uit Afrika een betere toekomst te geven. Huntley Brown. Pearl Josephson. Jimmy Earl Perry. Rochelle Liedeman. En Sharon Kips. Zij verrassen u graag. De presentatie is in handen van Gerda Havertong. Laat u inspireren bij de Christmas Experience. Een kerstbeleving om nooit meer te vergeten. Thank you.
Thank you, Mannheim Steamroller. I want to begin today talking about the expectations that we have for Christmas. Here we are entering into the Christmas season. The weather is changing and all sorts of things are changing in our lives. People are starting to slow down for the Christmas season that's coming upon us. And of course, we enter into the season with really some interesting expectations. We hope that everything will be wonderful and perfect. We come into this time with all sorts of fond memories that have been refined over time. One of my fondest memories was how we used to go up to the mountains when I was a child with our family, and we would sit there around the fire. We would invent all sorts of interesting desserts, and we would have all sorts of delicious drinks. And we would share memories, and we would talk about how God has blessed us this year, and we would exchange gifts. But of course, sometimes when I remember those times, I forget about all the arguments that I had with my sisters or about how our car got stuck in the snow. And over time, those memories get better. And we have these memories, you know, we think about how we need to find a perfect Christmas tree, and we think about how nice it would be to exchange the perfect present for the people that we love. We think about all these ways that Christmas ought to be, and then of course these ideas are inflated or buttressed or supported by Hollywood and pictures and Christmas cards that we get. And although Christmas can be this type of a thing, sometimes, maybe because of our expectations, maybe because before it was so much better, Christmas sometimes isn't that. And sometimes Christmas can be very sad or lonely and very dark. And yeah, sometimes the weather is changing and things are getting colder and you don't get to go outside as much. And so sometimes Christmas becomes a time where we see others having the things that we thought we would have. We see others with the perfect present and the perfect tree and the perfect family, while we ourselves have a broken family or no family, or we feel alone or feel like we could never afford a nice gift for the person that we love, or we could never find a nice tree, or we could never go up to the mountains or do any of these things. And so Christmas can be a time sometimes for us, a season of regret, of loneliness, of emptiness, but it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. And I think the main confusion with Christmas for so many people is the fact that although Christmas trees and presents and holidays and exchanges and feasts are all good, and I hope everyone continues to do those things, that essentially Christmas must be about worship. Christmas is about worship. The quintessential human need to worship should be most experienced during the Christmas season, a time in which we feel ourselves drawn to the altar of Jesus to say to Him, "Thank you for being born. Thank you for entering our world." And Christmas ought to be a time of reflection, of focus, a time in which we repair broken relationships and we look inward and we allow Jesus Christ to come into the midst of our darkness. And then because Christmas is not about met expectations, but rather it's about worshiping Jesus, if we do that, then Christmas can be something more wonderful than it's ever been. Today, I want to talk about worship, Christmas worship, and what it means in this season to put Jesus at the center of everything you do in this Christmas holiday. Perhaps one of the first and most famous Christmas worshipers were the Magi. And these men who brought these three gifts to Jesus came from very, very far. It's such a mysterious story, isn't it? They came from, in the Christmas story, thousands of miles away in the east. The idea is truly ridiculous. The idea of this great men, wealthy, prominent, maybe rulers, would come so far to fall on bended knee before an unknown, nobody knew who this guy was, this Jesus baby, and to come so far on bended knee before his throne. they could see something that almost no one else could see. They could see that this child was going to shake and break human history. And for them, the idea of worshiping this little baby, this little person that has within him the potential to change everything, to them, the idea of worshiping this little baby was the highest honor, the greatest experience, the most wonderful thing they could ever think of, to go and to bow before him on and bended knee. And so they did. They had immense wisdom and revelation, and they had the ability to see who this baby was going to be. Now, of course, Jesus was really born as a baby into real darkness. It was really a dark time in Israel. Israel had become occupied by the Roman Empire, and this was a source of major tension for all the people that live in Israel. The most powerful empire that had ever existed up to that point had come into their town, a very proud, a very religious, a very independent people, and came and conquered and occupied their land. And in this occupation, they began to corrupt these people, a corruption the people felt, tampering with their temple and with their rulers and with their holidays and their way of life, introducing paganism and Hellenism. And they began to see that after Roman rule, things, even in the way of Jewish thought and reflection and Jewish worship, that things started to change, and this created darkness and tension. Many of the Jewish rabbis and teachers who used to emphasize a moral life and care for the poor and justice and good ruling now began to focus on who is clean and who is dirty, who is in and who is out. And in this new sort of unbiblical Judaism of the time, you were dirty. If you were sick, you were the result of sin. And so Jesus, the great rabbi, you know, comes into this and he sees all of the injustice. He sees in occupied Israel with all these Roman soldiers. And there's this feeling that there's war in the air. There's tension. There's all this mounting pressure, and there's real darkness. It's a religious darkness. It's a spiritual darkness. And into this, Jesus comes, a teacher to the religious, a prophet to the false kings, a healer to the sick, an illuminator to the ignorant. Jesus comes in a real light in real, real darkness. And this is what he was. He was injected into earth on Christmas like a cure to sickness. The Orthodox like to say that Christmas is important because as humanity we were dancing. And we're dancing around, and you know, the Orthodox, the Greeks, and many of those, they kind of do this thing with their arms and their shoulders, and the dance had messed up. And so Jesus somehow came into the scene and taught them how to dance. In other words, Jesus was the solution to every problem, and he really became that solution. There has never, ever been anyone in human history like Jesus Christ. No one ever in human history has been like him. Everyone on every continent picks the dates of their calendar and the years based around when Jesus lived. I mean, he has formed so much of our philosophy. All of our Western literature, from Shakespeare to Steinbeck, has Jesus in the center of it. He's the most important, most controversial idea and image in human history. And that's because Jesus came to change everything, to bring light to the darkness, to bring cure to the illness, to bring correction to a broken and off-tempo dance. Jesus came into the midst of that darkness. Now, many of us find ourselves in quite a dark place too sometimes. We find ourselves trapped in a place where we think, well, this Christmas, I mean, you know, things are supposed to be better, things are supposed to improve, but I just find myself in the same place of loss and woundedness that I was, that I've always been in now. It feels like it's been forever. And I think that there still is hope. And the hope is not, it doesn't begin with getting a job back, and it doesn't begin with all of these expectations. It begins with worship. Truly, it begins with worship, that the true issue in the midst of all loss, all woundedness, it's because of what you're worshiping, or maybe you're not worshiping at all. The core of everything I'm saying this morning is this. To be human is to worship. And to be Christian, a Christian filled with hope, joy, and peace in Christmas, is to be a human being that worships Jesus Christ. To be human is to worship. Every single person worships something. To worship something means to elevate it to the number one position. To make something in your life the most important thing. And that number one thing has to be something other than yourself. And people worship all sorts of things. When these things are material, we call them, in Christianity, we call them idols. And people still have idols today. There are all sorts of people who make their home, or their cars, or their workplace, their reputation, their clothing, or their money, the number one thing in their lives. And everything about their lives, everything they read, everything they think about, everything they journal about, the thing that they ponder when they're stuck in traffic is about that one thing. And what they're doing by framing their whole lives around that car, house, or bag of money, what they're doing is elevating that thing to number one. They're worshiping it. And there is a real sense of excitement, stimulation, a sort of happiness when you're able to worship something. But the problem is that no matter what you worship, whether you worship your girlfriend, or whether you worship a sports star, or all the ridiculous things that we try and elevate and worship, they will let you down. They will always let you down. They cannot fill your heart ever. All of us, Blaise Pascal said this, all of us have deep down with inside of us a God-shaped hole. It's in our heart. It's a God-shaped hole. And what we try and do is turn other things into God and shove them into that hole. And even though they don't fit, we push and we change and we break and we do whatever we can to put that thing in that empty void deep down. But that hole is God-shaped and nothing else will ever fit that hole. And yet every person, in the way that they live their lives, senses this hole deep down in their guts, in their heart. Every human being desires, perhaps more than anything, to fill that hole. And when you worship something, when you make something number one in your life, that is your attempt, whether you know it or not, to fill that empty hole. The purpose of Christmas is to remember that nothing, no present, no Christmas tree, no perfect feast or party, no invitation or promotion or paycheck could ever fill that hole, but only Jesus Christ can. Only Jesus, born into the darkness, and not just the darkness, the social darkness, but born into the darkness of your heart. Born into your woundedness, at the center of your pain, of your emptiness, that Jesus is born right there. And so we see Jesus everywhere except where he's supposed to be. We see Jesus on cards, and Jesus on pictures, Jesus in movies. We see Jesus on people's lawns, for goodness sake. But we don't see Jesus in our hearts. We don't sense Jesus in our hearts, and he hasn't been placed there. And that's exactly where he needs to be. To worship Christ on Christmas is the essence of everything we're meant to do this Christmas. And when we allow Christ to be born into the dark places of our hearts, sometimes in that image of a baby, like something small, it seems like it doesn't do anything. But that baby Jesus, I mean, Jesus grew into the most powerful, important man in human history. Jesus in your heart even now may not feel like much, but if you allow that Christ to grow in your heart, he will do immense things in your life. We must have Jesus deep within the center of our being. We must allow Jesus to speak his voice of love over us when others say things of hate or discourse or discouragement. When people that we love let us down, we need to remember that Jesus encourages us and speaks to us. We must have faith that God is in control and that what God wants and what God thinks is important. And this faith spurs on within us a hope that you've maybe lost because of all of the discouraging Christmases of the past. A hope that says, yeah, this year things will be different because now it's not up to me, it's up to Christ within me. And there's a new faith, a trust that Jesus is going to do something special. And so Christmas must begin with the worship of Jesus Christ. Not just saying you worship him, but inviting him deep down, the voice of love, Jesus that gave all deep into the core of your very being, that everything you do, Christmas or otherwise, comes from a place of trust, obedience, and love of Christ. The way I talk to my spouse comes from what Christ is doing in my life. The way I sing, the way I shop, the way I drive, the way I pay my bills comes from what Jesus is doing deep down inside. The way I live, the way I speak about others, the way I forgive people or think about people and what I think about comes from a place of what Jesus is doing deep down in my soul. We must become like the Magi who have a deeper vision. We know who Jesus is and we know what Christ in our life becomes. And we are willing to give up and to do anything to bow on bended knee before his manger and say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We must become a kind of people who are willing to give up anything to become that type of person. Jim Elliot is the one who said, the man is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. That we would become this type of person, the person that says, Christmas must be about Jesus Christ at the center. And if Christ is invited to the inside of you, then all of the things that happen in Christmas, like Christmas trees and presents and delicious desserts and food and friendship and all the things, all the songs we sing, all the things that we do, depending on what country you're in, that those things are external and they're blessed by what God is doing in our lives. And we don't expect a Christmas tree to fill a deep hole. We don't expect a perfect gift or spending money or seeing just the right movie at just the right time to fill a deep hole because Christ has already filled it. And when Christ has filled the deepest hole, that deep void deep within your soul, that from that place everything else is blessed. And so the light of Christ enters into your soul and your life is illuminated. And because it's illuminated, everything that you do in Christmas, it's not usury, it's not manipulative, it's not trying to force something to happen. But rather, even if you're completely alone, even if you have no friends or family, that Christmas can be a special thing because you have Christ. Even if you have not a dime to get a present, even if you don't have one single fond memory from the year past, even if you can't get to the mountains or even if you never see a flake of snow, you can still have an incredible Christmas because it's about the worship and the glorifying of Jesus Christ. And you allow him to bless your Christmas with real joy, real peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and so on. And he's doing it. And so I invite you to say to Jesus Christ, I worship you, and I invite you to be born into the darkness of my soul and to change the way I view the world. And I choose to worship you with song, with thought, with reflection, with what I say and what I think about, I choose to elevate you, Jesus, above everything in my life. If you do that, this will be an incredible Christmas. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. And I ask, Father, that everyone who is hearing these words around the world this Christmas would abandon their expectations and abandon their idols and invite you to come deep within inside of them. It's not what people say that matters. It's not what we do for a living that matters. Nor is it what we have that matters. Only that we have you and the voice of love that speaks over us. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus, we invite you into the darkness. Illuminate us, change us, and form us. In your name we pray. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And have a Merry Christmas. Amen.
En met deze inspirerende preek van Robbie Schuller nemen wij afscheid. Komt, laten wij aanbidden. Overigens, in deze kersttijd kun je elke dag contact hebben, niet alleen op zondagmorgen met Hour of Power. Want als je op onze website kijkt, dan sturen we je elke dag, zo je wilt, het gebed van de dag of de spreuk van de dag toe. En dan word je 's morgens wakker en dan zie je op je scherm een inspirerende boodschap. Wij nemen afscheid. Ik vond het fijn om zoveel mensen te mogen zien in dit programma, die allemaal bezield zijn van dat ene, dat kerstkind dat naar deze aarde kwam. Voor u en voor jou en voor mij. Volgende week hebben we als bijzondere gast de weerman, Reinier van den Berg. En misschien kan hij al vertellen of we een witte kerst krijgen. Iedereen hartelijk bedankt voor het kijken en we hopen tot volgende week.